Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down every NRL game every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn, and this is the Round 9 preview. Last week, we went 4-2 in our best bets, making it 8 out of 8 weeks. Where however many best bets I've given out that round, we've won at least 60% of them. That's winning record best bets every single week this season, even though it hasn't been the easiest season to pick. We've got ahead of the bookies each and every round. We'll continue to hopefully do that. This week, I've got best bets I'm sharing to you, four of them, four different matches in the first 5 minutes. But we're also 23-12 for the season, which is 66%, plus $1,143 if you're having 100 on every best bet and mixed matchup. Let's get straight into those best bets. It begins Friday night. I'm taking the Eels minus 4.5, and you can get that $2 lads and neds, or it's $1.91 or $1.90 everywhere else. Against the Roosters, of course. Now, the Eels simply, they're at home. They're close to full strength. They basically had a training run against the Bulldogs. Their spine is absolutely humming and bringing everyone else into play. Everyone knows the Roosters lost Beamos, lost Lindsay Collins, tragically ACLs. But Sammy Verrills has to have eye surgery. So Tili Tupanua got suspended. Now, Teddy does return. Sam Walker has been utterly amazing. But I think he gets outplayed by Mitch Moses in this one. I think on the back of a very strong Eels forward pack, laying under a converted try with a legit contender versus a side that's considerably under strength and still trying to work new combinations each week. It's a strong play for me. Then I'm taking the Knights plus 6.5, $1.89 on Unibet. That feels like a gift. The next best plus 6 at $1.85 on the top sport alt lines. And that is against the Raiders, and that's in a neutral venue being played in Wagga Wagga on Saturday. Now, both of these teams, they started the season 2-0. They've both since gone 1-6, and they are both absolutely desperate. And this should have been a Raiders home game, but as I said, it's neutral venue. Now, the Raiders do get returned Big Papa, and George Williams should be right to play this week after withdrawing last week. But I understand why the Raiders are favored in this one, but they got a lot of off-field issues, which I'll get more into in my full breakdown. It just makes me think there's a real chance this team is not all singing from the same hymn sheet. Now, the Knights were horrible last week, and trust me, I know, we backed them. And I just think I'm tipping this team will stay together. I think they can actually rebound off an awful performance. And they're also getting one or two guys back that plugs a couple of holes. So look, even if it ends up being a really tight game, getting plus 6.5, we can still cover as long as it's close, which is the same deal on Saturday night, taking the Broncos as a best bet plus 6 against the Cowboys. Now, that's $1.86 on Top Sport. You can also get Broncos plus 6.5, but it's $1.79. Now, on the screen, I've just pressed the top-up button just to make you aware of it. So you're seeing Broncos plus 6, $1.90, and you're seeing Broncos plus 6.5, $1.83. But as I said before, I think use the top-up button. If you want, you get one a day, and nobody gets banned from Top Sport and nobody gets their top-up button taken away. But I won't count that in my best bet record. Therefore, $1.79 misses out by 1 cent to be claimed as a best bet. I'm still happy with plus 6 with the Broncos. These are not the same Broncos from 2020. They actually do have a little bit of heart and, importantly, a bit of confidence, a couple of things they just didn't have last year. So some of these players are a little bit better than most people think. And the same 17 that came back from 22-0 down last week against the Titans on Friday Night Footy are going up to play the Cowboys in Townsville. Now, the Broncos are yet to even play half decent on the road in 2021. But I think they know that, and they make a point to actually take this show on the road after four good home performances. This is a derby game. It's not hard to get up for it, and it's a winnable game. It's not like you're going to Melbourne or South Sydney. You kind of know you're going to get flogged. In fact, there's a bit of revenge. These games are always heated between these two sides. I know that they're not the powerhouses that they were 6 or 7 years ago, but like the Cowboys handed the Broncos the spoon at Suncorp Stadium last year in round 20. Sure, the Broncos remember that. Now, Cowboys' form has been improved the last month as well, no doubt, but they've had to change new halfback in, Clifford back in for the Hampton injury. And just very simply put, I don't think these teams are far apart. I think they're very evenly matched. Even factoring in home field, I'll take those points with the Brisbane Broncos. And finally on Sunday, I'm taking the Warriors plus 6.5 against Manly, and that's at Rookie. And that's $1.85 on Unibet, also available $1.83 on Top Sport. You might see it on the screen, $1.87. That's with the top-up price. Now, of course, these sides have already met a month ago, and Manly beat the Warriors by a field goal in the 80th minute, and they didn't have Turbo. So you may simply say, well, Now they'll win by even more because they have Turbo. But I think there's a couple other big factors in the Warriors' favour this week. That is the outs of the forwards in Marty Tapau and Josh Aloye, while the Warriors get back Eli Katoa. And, you know, the Warriors' form in the last month hasn't been too bad either. We all saw them get spanked on Anzac Day in Melbourne. A lot went wrong from that day. But they've also beaten the Dragons, beaten the Cowboys, performed pretty well in the last 3 weeks too. So I think, similar to what I said about Broncos Cowboys, I don't think Manly are like way better than the Warriors. So I've just got to take the points. One other point I'll make on that, those last three best bets, I'm taking +6.5, +6, +6.5. Now, six is a very key number. As you can imagine, it's a converted try. So it's a common exact margin of victory. And if it lands on six in those games, we're not going to lose any of them. We're going to win at least two of them. So I have to admit, back in the day, that was an even more important key number because there were more close matches. Like, as we've seen in 2021, scoring is higher. And what that does mean is sometimes favourites get more separation. And there can be a game that's tight for 65, 70 minutes and then blows out late when that fatigue and that weight of possession works against you. So the key numbers aren't what they used to be. And taking the points with underdogs isn't, I don't think, as surefire as what it probably used to be either. But we did all right taking a lot of underdogs last week. I like these dogs this week in games where I think could go either way. And just if you're wondering, some bookies have these games at 5.5 where I'm taking 6.5. I think that that point, that full point, is worth 15 to 20 cents of value. And now, one other thing I'll say as well, I mean, I always love to read the comments and love to get your feedback, whether it's positive feedback, you're enjoying the pod, or disagreement, something you want to challenge that I've said, or anything you can contribute. So please keep it coming. I really do. It's what makes it worthwhile bringing this pod and bringing this show to you guys, is being able to interact with you guys and knowing you're enjoying it. And I actually had a bit of a smile last week reading the comments. A lot of people trying to predict what the bets are going to be, and people saying, I bet we're going to be on the Tigers this week. And I actually get a little sense of pride from that. Some people might think it's a knock that my tips are somewhat predictable. You guys, some people kind of know who they think I might be taking that week. But we have demonstrated that we have beaten the bookies with these tips for 7 straight years. So I think if you can predict what I'm going to be tipping on this pod, then that really shows you're learning how to find profitable plays on your own, which I find is awesome. And it's, and then, you know, and I know for a fact there are lots of guys out there that do use the knowledge they've gained from the pod, because they've told me as much, to bet into the marketplace before Wednesday night, because they want to get on their favorite players before I share them in case it moves the odds. And that is great, although it makes my job harder, because they're sharpening up some lines that are out there that might not be available for me when I do bring you the pod. But at the end of the day, it might be a bigger challenge, but I'm not here to complain. I enjoy the challenge of trying to find winners for you guys every week. That's what I want to do again for round 9, just before I get into game by game and a further explanation of those matches I've got best bets and the other 4 why I didn't have a best bet. Let's check in with Tristan from Top Sport to find out where the bookies have already seen some early action.
Hey Tripod family, it's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. We've got a really exciting round of footy coming up where there's 6 out of the 8 games where the lines are around about the try mark. And one of the bigger lines of the weekend is the Dragons against the Doggies, where the line opened at 10.5 and it's been back very heavily into 9.5. So we're expecting a very competitive round of football. The biggest goes of the weekend so far have been the Storm. They opened up at about $1.47. They're into $1.34. Obviously, the injuries to the Rabbitohs contribute to that move. One of the most interesting games of the weekend in my eye is the Eels against the Roosters, where the line's 4.5. The Roosters just keep coming back after copping injury after injury, and they keep performing well. This is a real acid test where they're stepping up in class against an Eels side who have been very good against weaker company. So it'll really give us an indication of where both these sides sit. And the Tigers have been very well supported against the Titans. 5.5 into 4 flat, 270 to 255. There's money suggesting the Tigers can do it back-to-back after last week's drought-breaking win over the Dragons. Good luck, everyone, for the weekend, and gamble responsibly.
Okay, now let's dive into Rabbitohs hosting the Storm, and the Storm are a -7.5-point favourite, despite the fact the game is in Sydney. That is because Adam Reynolds is out, Cam Murray is out, and Campbell Graham is out. Now, it's good to see like a Braden Burns back in the lineup for the Bunnies, and you know that Bennett likes to get a bit bit freaky with his lineup sometimes when you don't know who's going to be where. But the news out today that they're going to bring Hawkins up from reserve grade, playing the halves. So Walker remains at fullback. And then some new faces in the back line. I think Masters will be there, and Burns, maybe Milne as well. And Jaiara will get the start in the pack. The Storm will continue to rest Puppy. They spoke about he may have been all right for this game, but with a 10-day turnaround till their next game, they thought, let's just give him one more out. Nico Hines has done really well. The Storm also gets back Big Nelson. So they're close to full strength, apart from obviously missing Pappenhausen. This is a rematch as well from round one, where the Storm blitzed the Bunnies early. The Bunnies fought back, but fell short. Now, one thing I've got to address with this match is I'd love to be on the Storm if the line was -1.5. And it was -1.5 on Saturday, even after the news had come out of who was out for the Bunnies, including the kind of the news that caught people by surprise that Reynolds had a thumb complaint. So again, I want to shout out the guys in the group that have posted this. That's a great benefit to people who are in the group. I can't get on those and share them as best bets. I'll explain why I don't do that. Because I want to make sure everyone can get on and have equal opportunity to get on and get on for a decent amount if they choose to. But still, if you're in the group and you're lapping up bets like Storm -1.5, that's a fantastic bet to have in your pocket. Now, I do think that's going to win. Simply, like, the Rabbitohs' greatest strengths are fast play the balls in the middle of the field from players like Cam Murray, and then swing it out to the backs, and then impeccable execution in the outside backs. And look how limited they're going to be in this one with all the changes that they've got. Now, you might say, well, Benji can throw a triple cutout to any winger. It doesn't matter. But you don't get those same opportunities when the whole backline isn't kind of humming and isn't all executing perfectly. Plus, you're up against the Storm. It's a difficult proposition. And look, what about the Storm? Round three, they lost that game on the siren. We know it could have gone either way to Penrith. They've won five straight games by 34, 34, 16, 22, and 26. The Roosters played them tough for a half a footy, sure, that so did the Sharks last week, but they really haven't even had a tough game for 80. Now, they'll take the Bunnies seriously because the Bunnies are capable of giving them a tough game, but I think that gets the Storm up for this one. And, you know, this is rude to say, but I think if there's someone who might want the Storm to win this game, just quietly, and I shouldn't even say that's because he's club captain, but Adam Reynolds, what does it say about his bargaining power if Hawkins comes in and steers the ship around and the Bunnies win without him? So it's an interesting season to be a off-contract halfback, I tell you that. And Reynolds, we'll see how the Bunnies go without him, but I think that they will miss him for sure. Moving to, this is the early game Friday, Panthers hosting the Sharks, and the Sharks are 18.5 point underdogs. Panthers have no outs. Capewell has a rib injury. I actually would think they'd give him a rest, especially a guy you know is probably going to be in the Origin mix as well. Ramien comes back for the Sharks, but Hamlin, the ULA, turned his ankle last week, so he's out. And I talked about on the recap, like, you can still play well against Penrith and get beat by double digits. We saw that with the Knights. They played pretty tough against Penrith. We saw the same thing with Manly last week. So I have no appetite to go against this Panthers side. I think the only week this year I've had any bets that go against Penrith at all was actually with Brisbane, in Brisbane a few weeks ago. But in general, it's probably been quite wise to stay away from Penrith. I know they didn't cover the line last week, but they're just so scary to go up against. They are really a juggernaut of a side. So I'm not going against them, that's for sure. I won't take them because the Sharks are not a basket case. I think to lay close to 20 points, I think you want to be betting against a pretty bad team. And you've got to say, like, the Sharkies, another week with Sean Johnson in there, another week with Wade Graham in there, more time to combine, and they elevate their teammates, and I think that's going to serve them well. I just think they're going to have a tough week this week. But the strange thing about 2021's ladder as well, we have such a clear top four, and obviously Penrith leads that top four, but we have other teams in the top eight that have lost five of the first eight rounds. So I really think that keeps everybody interested, keeps everybody in the mix. And a team like Cronulla, having an awful month, still knows if they string a couple wins together, they're right back in the finals mix. Don't forget, a couple of years ago, people were saying we should open the finals up to 9th and 10th. Can you imagine how bad the record of the 10th team's going to be this year? So look, I lean to Penrith minus the start. Another factor I think worth considering, they have not won by more than 20 for 5 weeks. So I actually think they could be getting a bit itchy fingers, and they might just take it out on poor Cronulla, who's just come off a punishing 80 minutes in Melbourne. So definitely I could see Penrith winning by a big score here, but I'm just not quite going to lay that number either. I think Sharkies may quite, people might disagree, but I think Sharks at this point are probably underrated. Then we move to the game. I do have a best bet, the Eels hosting the Roosters, and the best bet -4.5. And I've got to say, this was one of the highest quality games of footy, in my opinion, of 2020. If you recall 2020, we came back from COVID and the Roosters were playing unbeatable. The Roosters were playing some of the best footy you've ever seen after the COVID break. Nobody looked like beating them until they played Parramatta. And Parra had their measure for 65 minutes. If you recall the game, it's the one where Sivo was going in to score and knocked Tedesco into the upside down world. It was actually an incredibly brave and tough play by Tedesco to try and stop Sivo, but he didn't. He got KO'd and the Eels scored and led by 6 points, I think. And it looked like Parra was going to win that game. But then the Roosters, as they do, they never get flustered. They came back and they did beat Parramatta. But in saying all that, that game has always stuck into my mind because I know that Parramatta is capable of playing that way. So they really impressed me in that game in particular. But how did the Roosters come back in 2020? Well, they had Luke Keary, who led the comeback. He's obviously out, as are many others. And I mentioned at the top, Bemos, Collins, Verrills, Tupanua. That's just all this week. Now, Teddy's back, sure. Suali is still not named in the 17. I'd love to see him play, but you never know. If he slots in or out, it doesn't move the needle for me because they've still got very capable first graders in their back line. So either way, it's just more entertainment factor. And the Eels off a soft performance last week. And I mentioned in the recap, a concern for Brown, copped an injury. It looked bad, but it's apparently a hip complaint, but he may actually be right to play. So it's obviously not too serious. Now, I don't want to take anything away from what the Roosters did and they cost us last week when we bet against them, but it's been commendable. They've copped all these injuries. They're actually sitting fourth right now, sitting higher than the Storm, despite what you'd have to call an injury crisis last year and this year. But you look at their lineup, it's still pretty solid, even with all the guys who are out. But ultimately, I don't think solid cuts it against Parramatta, playing at Wank Best. You know they always go well there. And they've had so many less changes in the first 8 weeks, which has really allowed them to really build up their combos and really start to gel. And look, I put my hand up for a very bad prediction last week. I said Sam Walker was going to struggle against Newcastle, missing Teddy. And, you know, playing a decent side on the road. Well, Sam Walker had a try and 5 assists. So now Teddy's back. I don't care. I'm going to predict it again. I'm going to predict that missing Tupanua is a bigger loss than people realize. And that this 18-year-old prodigy, Sam Walker, he will get outplayed by a guy like Moses, who has always previously been criticized for not being able to win on the big stage and against the big boys. And that's this kind of game. And if he can't outplay an 18-year-old who's only had 3 starts, he doesn't justify the 900K a year that he's demanding. And he's another one of these off-contract halfbacks. And then you've got a guy like Reid Marnie, who's been outstanding every week. If it wasn't for Harry Grant, he'd be a lock to be getting an Origin debut this year. Whereas you've got the Roosters absolutely luckless at dummy half. Verrills, the latest casualty after coming back from a serious injury. He's had a detached retina, and so he needs eye surgery. They bring Marshke back in, who's had 1 or 2 starts, but it's still just a young player and more combinations that you're still trying to work on. Now, I know that the Roosters never unprepared, but this is a very tough task, and I feel strongly Parramatta wins. I feel comfortable laying that 4.5 points. Moving to Saturday, the Raiders host the Knights in Wagga Wagga, and I have explained as well, taking the Knights plus the 1.5 available on Unibet, but +6 is still a very strong play on Top Sport as well. And yeah, I mentioned these sides both won their first 2 matches of 2021. Really, they in their clubhouse, they believed they were top 4 caliber sides if they had a good season after that start. And these sides have both gone 1-6 since then. But I think the fact that that makes them both so desperate actually plays into the fact this should be a close game and actually makes it a really exciting game to watch because where does the loser go from here? Now, Papali got a rest. George Williams, hammy strain in the warm-up. They're both meant to be back. The Knights lose Blake Green, but Phoenix Crossland starting at 7 at this point may actually be an upgrade. Heimel Hunt into the back line returning, and Fitzgibbon is 18th man, so could easily find his way into this lineup as well. And I criticise both these sides on the recap for the same reason that they're two predictable and they're too one-dimensional. They both centered their attack last week all around one player. For the Raiders, obviously Jack White, and for the Knights, it's all about Caelan Ponga. So yeah, Williams, if he comes back into the Raiders team, that takes a bit of pressure off Jack White. But I just do not want to touch this Raiders side. Like, let's talk about what's been going on. So you've got Ricky Stewart, he's blaming somebody every single week. I mean, he'll blame his players one week, but then it's the ref's fault the next week. It's the schedule's fault the week after that. And the refs that he was blaming, I think they technically got both decisions right. I'm talking about those denied tries to White, as harsh as one of them was. You got Joe Tapanay's wife calling Sticky out, saying he's not getting his rotations right. I'm sure he took that well. Papali has had comments that he's burnt out, which is kind of why they sat him out. Hodgson has stood down from the captaincy. Croker is the other captain. He's out of form and injured. And that's all off field. But on the field, I'm just not seeing the same Raiders that I've seen the last couple of years. I talked about that in that Cowboys loss. They would have never lost a game where they're led by 18 to a bottom eight side. And last week as well, when they did have a lead against the Bunnies and they just totally let it slip. And the Bunnies had a couple of players out as well. So I'm just not seeing that kind of belief and ruthless determination. So there's a chance that this Raiders team is kind of shot, and in which case we've got a fantastic bet if we take the Knights. There's also a chance both teams just come to play and it's an all-out war, and I'm still happy with +6.5. So I actually will take the Knights, even though they were so horrible last week. That's where you might get more focus and you might actually find that they play quite well this weekend, because it's kind of their last chance to really put up, or else the coach is going to have to make some changes in the team. Then next game we'll talk about is Tigers hosting the Titans. This one's at Campbelltown, and the Titans are a -3.5-point favourite. And it was a huge win for the Tigers, just for their belief that the season is not in the toilet. If you go 1 from 8, you're a punching bag. But 2 from 8, surprisingly, as I said, there's teams that have won 3 of 8 that are in finals position right now. So it gives them the belief. And it wasn't a Mickey Mouse win. It was a win away from home against the Dragons, who were 6th on the ladder. So legit win to show that the Tigers are not a bottom feeder. They have something about them. They don't have that top-end talent to contend. But I said before the year, I thought they did have the kind of roster that can be pesky and be honest and at least have belief of knocking on the door for the finals. And they'll have to do it this week without Tommy Talau, who got suspended. And Mbai is a versatile player. He'll come in and play center, and this gun, Sini, he remains in on the wing. He's exactly the kind of jolt of energy that they needed. Whereas the Titans will very much welcome back Tino Fasuamalaawi, but they do lose another like key player and key leader in that team, I think, a guy that is a guy that's really important to their success is Corey Thompson, just because he's a ball of energy for them. Beaufort Moore starts in the centres, and he's a running back rower, so that's slightly out of position for them. Now, if you want to play the Titans, and I did consider it, it's pretty simple. I think you go good team off a bad loss. And you could argue that the Titans getting back Big Tino, still with the names in that forward pack and still with some of the performances we've seen this year, they are a good team. You can argue that. The jury's still out for me if that's the case. And for that reason, I won't just blindly play the Titans here, because I still think they may be a little bit overrated. And I think the Tigers came into the season underrated. Now, the Tigers have played 3 really good games this year. The win at the Knights was a good game. Taking the Bunnies to Golden Point was a good performance, even though they lost brutally. And then on the weekend against the Dragons. And what those 3 games had in common, they were all away games. I actually think that's big motivation for the Tigers to give something to their fans, their long-suffering fans. This is the team with the biggest finals drought. Just bring that effort and that intensity to a home game. I don't think that's too much to ask. So that's what I'm expecting the Tigers are going to do here. And in fact, if they didn't have so many elementary errors against the Dragons last week, they would have probably won by more. The Titans, I don't think I'll back them again until their halves show me something. They really need to impress me. You know, like, there's some good stories in this team. Everyone loved the revitalized Ash Taylor story, that he's enjoying his footy again. And I've always thought he's really talented, and I want to see him do well, but he's been underwhelming this season. You got Jamal Fogarty, like a late blossoming guy who kept fighting hard in reserve grade, finally got a chance in first grade, and now is the captain of the club and a great bloke. But he's not playing like an elite seven at the end of the day. He's playing all right. You got Mitch Rain doesn't scare you at nine. You know, you go back all the way to January, February. Different story if Cam Smith had a swan song with this team. Imagine they would be doing a lot better right now, and there was a real need to improve that position. And who knows what the future holds if they're in the market for a guy like Brandon Smith or something that could really elevate this team. But at the moment, it is holding them back. And another blown lead last week. So I'm not going to feel smart going against the Titans, because you know that the coach is going to be, you know, pretty much fuming after last week, and after several bad performances, they could turn it around. But I don't think that there's value on the Titans this week either, because they do have their deficiencies and the Tigers are not as bad as everybody thinks. Moving to Queensland Derby, up in Townsville, the Cowboys host the Broncos. The Broncos are plus 5.5, as I said, but our best bet, we're taking the alt line plus 6. And Clifford is in for the Cowboys because Hampton got injured. The Hammer is still out for the Cowboys. Dunn into the reserves, available this week from suspension. And if it was me, I'd have him in my 17. And Brisbane, as I said before, no changes. Interestingly, Katoni Staggs could be back as soon as next week, which I think puts your outside backs on notice that you know he's going to come straight in the team when he can play. Now, the big thing about Brisbane, which I touched on at the start as well, is this home-road dichotomy. And what I mean by that is they're a totally different team, whether they're at home or whether they're away. And I used that to our advantage last week, having the confidence to have two best bets on them last week, partly just because they were playing at home and it worked out, as we know, even though it was a dicey start. But I'm going to back the Broncos on the road this week. And I think, as I said at the top, like, it's a different story when you're not playing the Bunnies, the Eels, or the Storm. You're going on the road and you know you've been super, you know, unacceptable in your performances on the road. This is a real chance to change that. And I think there really is something to the fact that because they were so bad in 2020, that people don't think many of these players are any good. But the truth is the whole unit was underperforming, and there are some talented players this Broncos side that people are sleeping on because the team was so terrible last year. And you can't deny it, Kevy has changed something in this side. This side would have never come back from 22-0 last year. So there is a little bit to kind of be bullish on with Brisbane. And I don't want to take too much away from the Cows. Like, they were knocking on the door last week against New Zealand, and if they score late, they're on a 4-game winning streak here. So the Cowboys are playing some good footy in the last month as well, and have improved things for sure. And Taumalolo is back. But it's just a case for me, when I look the sides up and down, I really think they're very similar. If anything, I think Brisbane is the stronger squad. So even you factor in home advantage, I'll take the points with the Broncos. Next up, we've got on Sunday, the Seagulls hosting the Warriors in Manly. And the line is 5.5 across the board, but we're taking plus 6.5. Where did I say that one? Get it right. 6.5 uni bet, also available $1.83 on Toppy. And one of the main reasons is Manly losing Marty Tapau and Aloe in the same week. Now, Moses Sully is back via the interchange. New Zealand do lose big man Murdoch Masilla, but they've regained Elliot Katoa, which I think is a big gain. And a guy who's been playing really well, but I haven't heard anyone talk about, is Lisa Armour off the bench as well. And on the reserve list for the Warriors, you've got Ewan Aitken and Harris Tavita. Now, I would have said they should be desperate to get those guys into the team, but you've got to admit, Walsh has been a revelation since they picked him up, snatching him from Brisbane's, this young gun, 18-year-old kid who's played one game at fullback and one game at 5'8" for him. And as I said, this is a rematch. This game went to the wire and Manly got the win via a DCE field goal in the 80th minute. And that kick-started a 3-game winning streak for them. They didn't have Tommy Turbo in that one. Then they got him back, as we know, the last couple of weeks, 2 weeks after that, and blew sides apart before coming down to earth slightly against a much tougher task in Penrith. So I guess if you think Tommy Turbo is worth 20 points to this team or whatever, you're definitely going to expect Manly wins comfortably. But as Tristan kind of said on the pod last week when I asked him about individual player value, from a bookie perspective, they value a guy like Tommy Turbo more around 5 points. And then you counteract that with cluster injuries in the forward pack. Again, I think it's a winnable game for New Zealand, and I am comfortable taking the points. I look at the game and think, well, I don't see Manly's forwards getting on top. And I really think it'll come down to, as well as the awesome fullback duel that we have with RTS on the other side for the Warriors, I think it comes down to halves play. And on one hand, if DCE has a whale of a game and with his kicking in his direction, he can steer Manly to victory. But if Manly aren't tight around the middle of the field, these running halves like Nikorima, Walsh, and then obviously what RTS provides in the middle, they'll find those gaps and they'll go through. So could go either way again, and I don't mind taking that that key number just above a converted try with New Zealand. Finally, the Dragons host the Dogs. The line is 9.5. Obviously, Dragons favoured at home. And I did say, like last week, the Dragons were facing going from the penthouse to the shithouse. After winning 4 in a row, they were staring at a loss being a third straight loss. And it was in the end. And 3 bad losses. You lose 2 games as a favourite. And the other game, you weren't a favourite, but it was a big loss on a big occasion to the Roosters. So they are searching for form again all of a sudden. And they're going to have to find it without Zach Lomax. He's out with a thumb injury. Fumeono plays in the centres this week. For the Dogs, Witeni Zelezniak moves to fullback Meany to the wing. Napa is named, but does have a shoulder complaint. It's hard to judge the Dogs on last week because they just didn't show up. Felt like they were still pleased with themselves after the Sharks win that made their coach cry. Parramatta is also a very tough opponent. They're going to make you look bad. And I give a lot of credit to the Tigers because they were just simply more desperate than the Dragons. I thought Hunt was all right in his return game. And I think he'll be even better this week. I'm not going to lay 9.5 with the Dragons because I don't think that they're that much better than the Bulldogs. I know they're a bit better, and I know they're at home and they should win. And if they do, they could definitely push the margin to double digits and above. So there's definitely that chance. On the other hand, like, it wouldn't shock me if the Dogs could win this game. I think they do have a chance to win this one too. So basically, like, you know, we've got the spread at 9.5. If Dragons win by 18, I'm not really going to blink. And if the Dogs won by 2, I wouldn't be shocked either. So I don't have a strong inkling which way this game will go. Therefore, no best bet. Now, I've totally forgotten to tell you guys about the mixed matchup, and I think I'm rushing to get this recorded and uploaded in time. So the mixed matchup is using 2 of the matches where we've got best bets, and we're taking this week a match that you wouldn't feel confident if it was actually played on the field, but luckily it's 2 different games, the Broncos to score more points than the Roosters. And the reason being that I'm predicting the Broncos can win or go close against the Cowboys. And I do think that'll be a higher scoring game. We've seen what these Queensland teams do. They're not playing at that same level and don't have that same sort of formidable defense that the contenders have. And therefore, there's been some shootout games. So I'm taking Brisbane to score a decent amount of points. Let's say I think they can get over 18 points, and 18 kind of being that key number. And then with the Roosters case, as you know, I'm against them for my best bet, taking the Eels. And the Eels are a very stout defense. And I do think they'll present problems for the new combinations there of Marshke, Walker, Hutchison in the 9, 7, and 6 compared to what the Eels provide. I think the Eels actually are underrated as a very good defensive unit. So I don't think the Roosters are going to be good for many points on Friday night. I'd have them kind of the 18 or under. And we get $2.40. for the Broncos to win that matchup. So there's my justification for it. Mixed matchup won again last week. And in fact, we've gone 2 straight losses, round 1 and 2, followed by 2 straight wins, followed by 2 straight losses, followed by 2 straight wins. So if you're a trends person, full transparency, maybe you're predicting a loss or even 2 in a row. But I'm hoping to break that and put up 3 winning mixed matchup bets in a row. And don't forget, we've won 4, we've lost 4. They're always... well, they're never under $2 odds, so we're ahead with those as well. Let me know if you like this week's mixed matchup and what you think of it. Let me know in general what you thought of all the plays. As always, this is really hard to do, and I can't guarantee I'm going to win every week, but I always guarantee I do give it my best. Please gamble responsibly, and Lego!